From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled The Fellowship of the Spirit, part of the series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Cairns' texts are 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, and Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. In expounding these passages, he is first seeking to define the term fellowship by linking it to three English words, participation, partnership, and pleasure. As Dr. Cairns has been explaining, believers in Jesus Christ participate in the benefits of the Spirit's work. The first instance of this participation is, of course, the new birth. It also applies to virtually every area of the Christian life, sanctification, assurance, prayer, and so forth. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in a few minutes. First of all, the Reverend Colin Mercer, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, reports on the celebration by some churches of the 10th anniversary of the so-called Justification Agreement.
Let's not jump up and down with excitement when we read that Methodists, Lutherans, and Roman Catholics worldwide on Saturday, October 31st, observed the 10th anniversary of the signing of a landmark ecumenical agreement considered as one of the most significant since the Reformation. That agreement has to do with justification. Let me give you something of the background. On October 31st, 1999, representatives of the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran World Federation signed a joint declaration on the doctrine of justification, in which the two church bodies together confessed, and I quote, "By grace alone, in faith, in Christ's saving work, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works." End of quote. Members of the World Methodist Council later adopted the document by unanimous vote as well, in 2006, sharing the belief that a common understanding of justification was, and I quote, "fundamental and indispensable," end of quote, to overcoming the division between Catholics and Protestants. Now, on the surface, this sounds extremely encouraging. But just hold a minute. In the same joint document on the doctrine of justification, I read these words, quoting from paragraph 25. "We confess together that sinners are justified by faith in the saving action of God in Christ. By the action of the Holy Spirit in baptism, they are granted the gift of salvation, which lays the basis for the whole Christian life." They are justified by faith. By the action of the Holy Spirit in baptism, they are granted the gift of salvation. By baptism. Rome has not changed her position at all. She still believes, as the Vatican website states, "the baptized have put on Christ through the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a bath that purifies, justifies, and sanctifies." Obviously, according to Roman Catholic teaching, baptism is the means by which a person is purified, justified, and sanctified. Baptism is no such thing. The Westminster Confession of Faith clearly states baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. Baptism does not save. That brings me right back to the great question, how can a man be just with God? And the answer is very simple. Only through the perfect righteousness of Christ, imputed to us and received by faith alone. There are three things we need to remember. The guilty sinner cannot justify himself. Read Romans chapter 3 and you'll discover that man is a sinner in the eyes of God. This is not a mere blot on his character. It's a complete corruption of his being. Romans chapter 3 verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That total depravity leads to total inability. The guilty sinner cannot provide a perfect righteousness, and therefore cannot save himself. We also learn that justification for the guilty rests upon Christ. Christ has provided a perfect righteousness. He lived a perfect life. Every thought, every act, every word was perfect and without sin. In fact, it's more than that. Christ was impeccable. He was not able to sin. He lived a life of perfect obedience. Furthermore, he died an atoning death, a vicarious life, and a vicarious death. Christ has met the demands of God's perfect law. Therefore, justification is through Christ alone. Also, this glorious justification is received by faith alone in Christ alone. Martin Luther, the great reformer, learned that truth. The just shall live by faith. Rome's message of justification by faith is not the same as the message of the gospel. Therefore, it must be refused, and Christ alone received.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only, and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest, as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
When we're talking about the meaning of the fellowship of the Spirit, we are talking first of all about participation in the benefits of the Spirit's work. The meaning of this Greek word for fellowship is shown to us in a couple of very familiar scriptures. If you turn back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 30, you'll find the same root word, a slightly different form of the word, but it's the very same root word. And here the Lord Jesus is upbraiding the Pharisees, and he's saying, you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We would not have been partakers with them. That is the word that we're thinking of in this word fellowship, partakers. It comes up again, for example, in an even more famous text in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. We are partakers of flesh and blood. We participate in all that is conveyed by that term, flesh and blood. We participate in humanity. We are partakers of it. Now that is the meaning of the word. Let me give you one more reference to show you the force of this word before we start applying it to our text. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 17, we have this statement. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. And so he goes on. Notice this. The branch partakes of the root and the fatness of the tree. The branch participates in all the life of the tree. Now that is the meaning of the word that we're dealing with this morning, the fellowship of the Spirit. We have a participation in the benefits of the Holy Ghost and His work. Now what does that mean? It means first and foremost, we have received from the Holy Ghost the benefit of His saving work. Over the weeks and months that have gone into eternity, we have studied one by one these saving actions of God the Holy Spirit as He applies Christ and His redemption to the heart. We have participated in the work of the Holy Ghost. By that I mean we have received the benefit. My friend, we want to stop there this morning. We say these things. We roll them off the end of our tongues as trite phrases. But when you stop to let it sink in, I, a poor, guilty, wretched worm of the dust, I, a sinner within a heartbeat of hell, I, a sinner who had built up every merit to go to hell, who earned the just displeasure of God, I have received the grace of the Holy Ghost. I have received His gracious work in regeneration. He has quickened me and brought me to the new birth in Jesus Christ. He has given light instead of darkness. He has given life instead of death. He has brought me out of the tomb of sin into the glorious life and liberty that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have participated in His grace, for I have received regeneration. I have received sanctifying grace. What about His grace in revealing Christ? Some time ago I preached a message from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 on the most important work, the central work of the Holy Spirit of God. What is it? It is revealing Christ to the soul. It is making us see the things that are freely given to us by God in Jesus Christ. It is making us understand the union that we have with Jesus, so that God cannot treat with Christ apart from us, nor can He treat with us in isolation from Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What a joy when the Holy Spirit came and opened our sin-darkened eyes to behold the Lamb of God. What a day it was when the Holy Spirit, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shined in our hearts. What a day it was when He showed us Christ. You know, a preacher could stand from now until the judgment day saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." You and I would have been as blind as the proverbial bat, and we would never have seen Christ had not the Holy Spirit come and imparted the sight to see the light. And then, of course, He has given us His benefit of assurance. Assurance is not make-believe. Assurance of salvation is not presumption. Assurance of salvation is not mere logical deduction. I have done this, therefore God has done that. Assurance at its highest and most glorious point is that mighty witness of the Spirit of the living God, whereby He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Surely we have received His sealing, His leading, His guiding, His power to pray, His power to live, His power to serve. We have participated in the benefits of the Holy Ghost, one, because we have received His benefits into our hearts and lives. And second, it goes even further than that. We have received this benefit. We have this privilege. We have been made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What does this mean, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost? It means participation in the benefits of the Spirit's work, and the Spirit's work makes us partakers of the divine nature. I have to confess that that is a text that has always, always fascinated me. I've often said that had the Holy Spirit not written that in the Bible, any mere man would have been afraid to say it. You think of it. We are made partakers of the divine nature. Now, again, I don't want to be over technical, but we do believe in inspiration. And there is the difference of one letter between the basic word here that we're dealing with in the divine, the word divine, and the word God. But that difference of a letter tells us a lot. Peter is not referring to the divine essence. We are not made part of God. We do not become little gods. We are not somehow absorbed into deity. But the word that Peter uses is a word that peculiarly speaks of the divine qualities or the divine attributes. And what he's saying is we are made partakers of qualities that are truly divine. When you're saved, you are now spiritual. There is a spiritual nature there. Oh, we're still in the flesh, and the flesh lusts after sin, but we have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And these divine qualities that we read of in Scripture, the qualities that we ascribe to God and the Bible ascribes to God, have a Spirit-given reflection in the believer. In other words, Christians are to be the mirror image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God works in sanctification to make Christians the mirror image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often said that the only place the world can see Christ is in a believer. The missionary story now is hackneyed and trite, but it's also true. When a preacher went telling some heathens about the Lord Jesus and giving a description of His glorious person, their faces lit up and said, "Oh, He was through here last month." Because they had seen Him in the beauty of one of His servants. Spirit's work is to make us images of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. "But we all with open face," or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here is the work of the Holy Spirit as He works in believers, as He teaches them Christ, as He reveals Christ to them in the Word of God. He does a wonderful thing. He starts changing them into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in the life of the true believer there is a reflection. Oh, sometimes we have to mourn that that reflection is so obscured, but it's there. It's there in every believer, however dimly, however obscured by events or circumstances, it is there. The qualities of Christ are mirrored in the believer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.